Welcome to the Beat Red Podcast, a show where we talk about all things embarrassing. We share your stories. We share our stories. We're here to laugh with you, cry with you, cringe with you, and bring some levity to your day. I'm Katie.
And I'm Mary Kate.
Let's turn Beat Red. How was your week?
My week? Well, my week's not over yet because I've been listening to Boys to Men and we're going to go see them tomorrow.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
I've been blasting it out the windows. It is so good.
It is. And Paula Abdul.
Oh, Paula Abdul.
Never seen her.
I have seen her. She's really good.
You have?
Oh, yeah. Opened for Pride like in 2017, I saw her, 2018. But yeah, so that's like what I'm excited about for the week.
We'll report back on that. Yeah, I'm very excited about that.
How's your week?
I started watching The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. It's terrible. I mean, it's really, they're pretty unsufferable. It's really hard to watch. Sorry for anybody who finds them delightful, but it's pretty bad. It's a reality show. It's based around these Mormon TikTok dancers that are like, it's like Mom Talk or something, I think is their brand. And they basically are just revealing their secrets. They're, you know, trying to like bring some newness to the to the Mormon faith, you know, they're trying to bring some new things, and that's cool. I'm
100%.
All for like bringing sex positivity and like all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
But it's just the inner drama, the way they all talk about each other behind their backs. It's just it's the drama. It's just the drama of the show. And if there wasn't that, it obviously wouldn't be a show. That's why people watch reality television.
Right.
But I'm kind of like, it's kind of like a thing I have on in the background so that I'm like culturally aware. Yeah. I'm also like on my phone at the same time. But
I kind of want to see the Mormon tear down just like of someone else. Just, I want to see what that's like. What is it like? Are they like she drank Diet Coke and I saw it.
Okay, well that's the thing.
I don't know why I gave her a Southern accent.
But I had no idea that soda is their coffee. So you knew that?
Yeah, they're like, not supposed to drink it, right?
No, soda they're allowed, but coffee they're not. And it's like, soda has caffeine too. They have all of these like loopholes. It's like, oh, can't have sex, do it in the butt. You know, it's like there's all these like...
Nuh-uh.
Yes, there's all these like loopholes with all of it. But it's like, it's so funny to me because it's like having... They have soda pop-ups everywhere instead of like coffee. They have like soda shops, and that's like they're lining up at like 8 a.m. to get their sodas instead of their coffee.
That
so it's so much worse for you. It's so funny.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll just have like 85 Cokes instead of like 3 coffees or whatever. But
wow.
Anyway,
it is pretty fascinating.
Look, if you're a Mormon and you love it, good for you.
Yeah,
like, that's great. I'm not hating on that. But it is a really, it's an interesting show. I can't say I recommend it. It's terrible, but it's, you know, it's like a bad reality watch.
You find the best ones. You find the best ones.
This and Chimp Crazy, just,
Chimp Crazy. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Let's get this party started.
Okay. My first story is from a repeat storyteller. We have another story from Jackie. Okay, if you remember Jackie, she gave us that amazing story in episode 29 where she pooped her pants at work.
Oh.
She did the poop matching up the poop parts. This was just 2 ago.
That was great.
It was so good. And she was like, I have another one if you wanted. It doesn't involve poop. And I was like, absolutely.
Jackie,
I want
yes.
every story you have, Jackie, for your entire life. Give
Forever.
Me all the stories. So here we go. Back in late 2016, I was on the online dating apps and I met a lovely man, John. John had it all in many ways. He was thoughtful, artistic, successful, handsome, and kind-hearted. All of it. So in late 2016, we were really enjoying going on dates together and getting to know each other, and I was pretty excited about it. For everything he had going for him, he also had some pretty serious challenges in his life involving his child and his ex-wife, who both had significant mental health challenges, and that unfortunately prevented us from being able to really dig into a new relationship and kept things at a bit of a distance, which I'm like, oh, that's so sad. Like, we've all been there where, like, it's timing or it's, like, somebody else's baggage is just too much.
Too much,
And it's so sad when you really have a connection with somebody, but the external stuff just gets in the way of it. But, yeah, I could see that because that would be really difficult to deal with, and I'm sure he was like really emotionally torn and having to be invested in that. And
it's hard for him. He can't start something new potentially.
Yeah, exactly. In February of 2017, he came over on his birthday and we had a really nice visit. My hopes rose again for something serious between us, but he was still so disconnected, dealing with all of the mental health issues and his child and his ex-wife. So by March, I knew this just wasn't going to work because I liked him way too much. He was everything I was looking for in someone, but he was having a really tough go. So I mustered up the courage to send him a long and thoughtful text message that outlined why I couldn't do it anymore. And it was because I liked him so much and he was such a good person. And I just really needed to create some space for my health. I'm like, yeah, I get that. You gotta protect your needs.
Yes, and good for her. She spelled it out, and that's really brave. Instead of just saying, look, it's not gonna work out, she told him exactly why, so there wouldn't be any mystery. That's good.
Yeah, it sucks when something ends, but you both still love each other. Like, that's the hardest part. It's like, you just have to. He responded and said, "Can I please see you? I had plans the next day. I was already going to be out with a former colleague who was visiting from abroad. So I said to him, I'm having dinner with a former colleague, but I can meet up with you after. And we made that our plan. I met up with that colleague and she was excited to be back here in New York with our really great food scene. She suggested that we go for Mongolian hot pots, which I had never had before. And I thought, yeah, let's give it a go." It's not a poop story.
Okay.
She already told us it's not a poop story. Okay. Just you never, it's a twist, there's turns. You don't know where it's going.
So, crossing that off the list.
Yeah, that's the first thing you think. You're like, Mongolian hot, hot pot.
Anything spicy.
Little hot pot. Let's see what's happening. So off we went and we had a delicious Mongolian hot pot dinner. I've never had a Mongolian hot pot either. Now I'm like, I gotta get me a Mongolian hot pot.
Let's go find one.
Sounds delicious. You gotta look this up. Okay. I loved it. After that, John and I met up and we had a drink and he drove me home as he always did. And as we always did, we sat in the car and we talked for a really long time and it was sad and I cried and he cried. Oh. And I remember putting my hand on his heart and saying, if this wasn't so good, this wouldn't be so hard.
I'm going to cry.
I know. I'm like, oh, it's devastating.
That's devastating.
That love that's there, that you both love each other, is just the other external things.
Exactly. Like, and she has to get out of that car and slam the door forever.
Ugh, it's so sad. Then I started to feel not so good.
No.
He saw that and he said, are you okay? I got quiet and I was breathing deeply. And I said, what's happening right now is my stomach has gotten upset and I'm not sure why. And I'm just trying to be okay. He said, do you need to go? I said, no. We were still in the middle of this gut-wrenching conversation with tears on both sides. I couldn't possibly walk away now.
Sorry, this is not funny. I'm sorry to laugh.
Because you know something's coming. Look at your face. We know that this is a show about embarrassing stories.
This is embarrassing. Something embarrassing is coming.
Something's coming. What could it be? Your face. I wish I had a video of your face right now. It's hilarious. Okay. I thought I could just breathe through it. And she's like, do you notice there's a theme? Because she thought she could breathe through it the last time.
Oh, yeah. Right.
There's a theme. Breathing through it. Sometimes it doesn't work.
Nope.
Okay. Then I realized I couldn't breathe through it.
No.
I said, John, I have to go. I'm really not feeling well. And he just kept saying, do you think we could hang out sometime? And I was like, I don't know. We'll see. I got out of the car and I immediately vomited into the snowbank. It had recently snowed significantly, and I vomited all over the half-melted, half-trampled snow. John was in a rental car because he had a fender bender, and he said, oh, God, and ran around to the back of the car to see if there was anything in the trunk he could give me to help with the fact that I was puking all over the side of the road.
Oh, no.
And as he came around to the side of the car to see how I was doing, I was heaving and puking again, and this was humiliating enough. But as he came closer, I let out an uncontrollable, rip-roaring fart. Basically on him. She farted on him as he came over to comfort her, like rub her back, hold her hair. She farted on him. The biggest fart of her life. Rip-roaring fart.
Katie.
On him.
Katie, you're killing me right now. You're killing me. Like, that was the biggest fart of her life.
On the love of her life. She ripped a rip-roaring fart on him as he tried to console her.
And she's barfing.
What do you think he did?
I mean, hopefully he was like, tried to make out with her. I don't know.
Tried to make out with her as she's barfing all over.
He just shoved snow in her mouth.
Then he kissed her. That's what you hope happened.
He kissed her passionately.
That is not what happened.
He put snow on her butt.
To which he responded with, oh. His sweet, sad, and tragic reaction made it so much worse.
That is so.
Neither of us acknowledged the rip-roaring fart. But that was certainly the end of any type of romance for him and I. I went inside and I sat with my sad feelings. And because it was so cold out, the puke froze and sat there as a reminder to me for the next 7 to 10 days every time I walked past it.
That is amazing.
It's so poetic. I was like, your stories are poetic. Jackie.
Jackie. Okay, Jackie, your story, the buildup is beautiful. No. I was with you every step of the way as if I was watching a movie. And then the fact that you then made it like the biggest fart of your life on this guy you just were like getting your heart ripped out of. That is embarrassing, but it's also so funny.
It's so funny. No, they were bawling their eyes on the car. They're breaking up. They're devastated. They're like, yes. I love you. You love me. We can't make it work. It's too hard.
No.
There's too many outside factors. You get out of the car, you vomit. It's so embarrassing to vomit in front of. First of all, I don't want to vomit in front of anybody, especially the love of your life. You're like out there vomiting into the snow. That's horrible.
Into the snow.
Then he comes over to comfort you and you fart on him. A big old rip-roaring fart.
One, I'm glad there was snow because if it's the side of the road and he has to see it all, at least it disappeared into like the white, like, new, freshly white
snow. I don't know. That's a big contrast between the puke. That it really highlights through. It. That's not grass. Like, that's highlighting.
You're right. You're
like,
right.
Just, I feel like that's just like illuminating the puke.
It's true. It's like an arrow. You're right. Well, I also think that this is the first time I've ever felt that an embarrassing story saved the day a little bit.
Yeah.
Because
it lightened the mood.
It
destroyed the romance.
Destroyed the mystery. But it also added a little levity to the moment. Because in her mind, that's still going to be a wound that you've covered with a Band-Aid that gets a little bit ripped off every time you think about it. But then it gets put back on by the fact that you farted the biggest fart of your life on that guy.
I think about the Sex and the City episode where Carrie farts and it just replays in her mind for the entire day. And I'm like, that had to happen to her so many times where she's just replaying that moment. And she was like, if I could turn back time. Yes, yes. Like, it's just...
Oh, I kind of wish that had happened to me in my life for what? a few of the tragic moments of my life where I'm like, I
wish I could have farted on you.
I gotta go. And then you just like fart. And then it's sort of funny. And you sort of like, oh.
It's just a big old period on the end of the relationship. Yeah. That
fart. It's an exclamation mark. Oh, that is funny.
Yeah.
So well written too.
Jackie, please tell us all your stories.
Jackie,
always.
We want everything. Yeah. I love that we could fast forward in her life. So she was this young, you know, in the last episode, she was this young, like eager employee. And now she's like, you know, in a relationship, has to end it. I just want to follow her through.
Yeah. All of your embarrassing moments. We need them, Jackie.
Oh, that is so good. Thank you, Jackie. Okay. This is from Igor in Little Rock.
Fake.
Damn it. Okay, I'm not allowed to use his name.
Okay, when you make up a name, Mary Kate.
But he is my friend.
It needs to be a regular name.
He told me this.
No,
he chose the name.
Not
and you should have heard some of the other options.
Okay.
No, Carrie, she gave me that name too. I have no choice.
Okay.
Do we want the story?
Okay. I choose the names for them. So you're letting them do it. That's fine too. Igor, we know that's not your name. But
Igor,
also, we don't know who you are. So it's
no,
fine.
No, I mean,
just
be Igor. But I'm not going to tell. Yeah. But his name is Igor. Tell. Okay. So Igor wrote. Okay. So when the movie Trading Places came out, do you know that movie?
Trading Places.
It's with Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd.
Yes, yes, yes. I love that movie. Yes. For some reason, I was thinking Trading Spaces, and I was thinking Interior Design, and I was like, wait, is that?
Like the HGTV show.
Yes, I love that movie.
So it's the movie
Such
Trading
movie.
Places. Yeah. And he said, I was 18, and part of the TV trailer for it included the scene with Eddie Murphy pretending he's legless on a rolling thing in Central Park.
Yes.
As he hits on a girl, she rebuffs him, and as she's walking away, he says, once you've had a man with no legs, you never go back. So my friends and I are in line to see it at the theater. And we're talking about it, sharing lines from the movie we've seen in the trailer. And I say, in my typically too loud voice, with great jocularity, in my best impression of Eddie Murphy, once you've had a man with no legs, you never go back. My friends literally stop silent. And they stay silent and are obviously uncomfortable. One of them looks behind me and I turn to see, in a wheelchair, a man about 50 years old, literally with no legs, scowling at me. He's not in line for the movie, just a mall patron. Both he and the woman walking behind the chair are looking at me with disgust, like I'd seen him and then improvised the line.
Aww.
I apologized profusely and tried to explain, but neither of them were having it. 40 years later, my friends still lob that at me, even after not seeing me for 10 years. I mean...
Yeah, I recently rewatched that movie. There's a lot of things in it that are not PC today. It is not PC at all.
Right. We watched that during the holidays, I think. It was a holiday movie or something?
Yeah. Well, he plays Santa in part of it, so I think it's kind of like, and Christmas is during the movie, but it's not really a holiday movie, but yeah.
The whole plot doesn't really stand up at all.
No, there's a lot of issues, but that is super cringe and embarrassing because 40 years ago, people were definitely saying a lot of things that weren't PC and like just doing movie quotes and whatever. And then, that is horrifying.
Also,
and he wasn't trying to like make fun of anybody.
No,
he was
not
just
at all.
Quoting the movie
he was
and
trying to
that
impress his friends, like make them think he like, you know, was cool or whatever. And he is cool, but that's embarrassing.
No,
it's
that's
like,
super embarrassing.
It's like the stars align in that moment.
Putting your foot in your mouth in the worst way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just so bad. That's embarrassing. Thank you, Igor. That
is. Thanks, Igor. You and your fake name. Okay. This next story comes from Rebecca. You see that solid fake name right there? Rebecca.
Is that okay? A fake name?
Yeah, it's a fake name. But nobody knows who Rebecca is. Rebecca could be anybody.
Rebecca,
and she is.
Okay? Is everybody.
Rebecca is any. This has definitely been a situation I haven't been exactly in, but similar.
Sweet.
Okay. This next story comes from quote unquote Rebecca, and she writes, I went to Ross in the summertime. I picked out a super cute dress that didn't have zippers, just a pull-on type. I got it on over my head, but soon after, I realized it was way too tight. I went to pull it back over my head, but now I'm sweating and it's stuck. You know that feeling? Have you gotten a dress on or like a piece of clothing?
Every day.
Where you feel like you can't get it off?
Every day.
The way that I panic, like the trapped feeling is so scary. Like I don't know. It's so constricting. 100%. It's so terrifying. But to feel that inside a dressing room and be like, what am I going to do? How am I going to get out of this? I am stuck in this. I am by myself. Like, that is the worst feeling. And we've all felt something similar to that.
Right. Again, Sex and the City, when she's in her wedding dress.
And she was like, get it off
me. She ripped it.
Yeah. Yeah. But you can't rip the new dress. I mean, I guess you couldn't pay for it, but you don't want to do that. You know, you want to figure it out. I went to pull it back over my head, but now I'm sweating and it's stuck. I tried a few times to get it off unsuccessfully and I started to panic. Oh. I pulled it back down and now realized that I was going to have to ask for help because I couldn't get it off.
Oh.
Yeah. Humiliated but out of options, I had to go ask the lady at the front of the store to help me. I explained to her that I was stuck in the dress and I needed her to help me get out of it. She said, ma'am, I am very uncomfortable doing that.
What?
I know. I was like,
get a new job.
I was like, what? That's so bizarre. She's not hitting on you. She's not like, hey, can you help me get out of this dress?
Clearly, she's like a little sweaty because she's been trying to get this dress off.
Can you help me get this dress off, ma'am?
Mind if you use the zipper to undo
Let me slip into something a little more comfortable. Nothing. She's like, I'm not hitting on you. Can you please help me?
Also, you work here. That's part of, right? You work near the women's dressing room. What are you doing?
I said, well, I can't get it off if you don't help me. She finally begrudgingly agreed and followed me back to the dressing room. Together, we were able to get it off. She then proceeded to lecture me for trying on a dress that was too small to begin with.
I know.
Isn't that horrible?
That's a Yelp review right there with the actual name included.
I thought that was so mean. I was like, come on, are you a woman? Like, mean. Or even a man, maybe. I'm like, if you,
anybody.
You know, maybe. I feel like it happens to women more because like the kind of dresses that we put on, they have a way of like, you know, if your boobs are really big or if your hips are big, like there's a way for things to get stuck, you know,
100%.
Where like we've all been in that situation. Rude to kick her while she's down.
To that says no empathy to me. You know, that's like, what are you doing?
Exactly.
That's, yeah.
I would be like, oh my God, girl, I got you. Let me get this
100%.
Off. Like, don't even worry about it. I feel so bad. Like, you're totally fine. It happens to all of us.
It happens to
don't
all
even
us.
Worry.
Yeah.
So thank
also,
you,
let's
Rebecca.
Help you get out of that so someone else can buy it.
Exactly.
I don't know. That was good. At least you asked for help. I mean, you have to.
You got to. Got to ask for help when you need it.
That's so embarrassing. That's like, don't worry. That's not embarrassing. That's happened to everyone. That happens to me every day with my own wardrobe. And I'm like, no, please help me. No one's around.
Yeah.
I rip a lot of stuff. Okay. So I asked a couple of my mom friends, and we all have children who are like 15, 18 month old range. And there are some hilarious stories. So this comes from, I changed her name, but my friend Sarah in Pasadena. And she writes, I often take my 1.5-year-old to the Rose Bowl Aquatic Center during their recreational swim. I love that place with the music.
So good.
And yeah, it's so good. It's a win-win because he loves it and I love spicing up a hot day with a 10-minute dip in the gorgeous pool. There are people of all ages in the pool, old folks doing leg kicks, young couples just enjoying some free time together, and young parents as well. One day, we got in the pool and were only able to swim in half the area because there was a class of third graders taking swim lessons on the other side. Needless to say, recreational swim was packed that day. I'm holding my son and he's splashing around when all of a sudden he lets out an enormous fart. I feel it against the hand that's holding him, except it's not a fart.
Oh no.
It's poop.
Oh no.
And coming out of the sides of his swim diaper. Oh no. Just brown, dusty chunks of poop surrounding us.
Oh no.
Like the dusty, my son has pooped in the bath before.
Oh yeah.
If it looked like that.
Every kid does.
Yeah, busted. The lifeguard, who up until that moment had been looking bored, took off her sunglasses, got up out of her chair, and walked directly to us. Did your baby poop in the water? I weakly said, yes. I was mortified because they had then had to tell everyone to get out of the pool because he pooped in it.
Yeah.
Yes, bacteria. He's a baby, but it didn't make any difference on the embarrassment scale for me.
No.
Everyone has to get out.
You're the source of everyone having to leave their enjoyment, especially if it's like, a hot day.
Oh, yeah.
Your baby
know.
Doesn't care. You're the one getting embarrassed because you got to kick everyone out.
Drain the pool, I think. I couldn't find anything online because she told me the story and I didn't want to make her continue to go, but it's
a big deal.
They have to drain it.
I don't think they drain the pool, but I think they have to like sanitize it. They have to put extra like cleaner and stuff
and
in
like
it.
Scrape out the poops.
Yeah, of course. You got to get that poop out. Oh my God.
So she wrote, So the third graders got out. The grandma who was doing leg kicks got out. The cheerful teenagers got out. And then I had to see the adults shaking their heads around me in the changing room while I scurried to get my son cleaned up and dressed. There's nothing more embarrassing that has happened to me in the last 5 years than that. I've sacrificed going back to that heavenly place ever since. Aww. Yeah, I know. I don't think I could go back either if my son pooped.
Yeah,
in
but
the
that
pool.
Sucks. It's such a like, and she had him in a swim diaper. So it's not like she didn't have a swim diaper. Like it does happen. Unfortunately, it's a kid. You know, it's a baby.
Yeah, it's a baby.
Like, but I mean, if he was having a blowout,
the class
what can you do?
Third graders who were like just learning how to swim and their teachers got them on a bus from their school.
Oh.
They had to get out.
Yeah.
It's so, so bad.
You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. You got to do what you got to do. It is a great place to kill some time though with your little baby. I highly recommend going.
No,
put
it's
two
so
diapers on.
Yeah. Put two diapers on.
That's embarrassing.
My next story comes from Gabriel and he writes, it was my 25th birthday and mind you, I had been drinking almost every day for the last year. So I was not a lightweight.
Yikes.
Sounds like you have a problem, Gabriel.
That's going to be an awkward conversation with your doctor.
My friend bought the biggest bottle of Captain Morgan he could find, which was the big jug with the handle on it. You know that one? The pirate jug.
That's huge.
Yes. We were having fun. That's what I drank in my 20s too. We were having fun and everything was going great until we decided to start going head to head on shots.
Ooh.
That's what kills you every time. It's the shots. You're fine if you don't do shots and then you're like, let's do some shots. And then the night goes to
and
shit.
And then you black out.
Nothing good happens from doing shots. Like it never does.
Nope.
It never, never does.
No,
just don't do the shots. Okay. Do anything else, not the shots.
Take maybe one shot and then put the bottle down.
But that's not how it works.
Nope.
And they had the jug. So shit was going down.
Yep. They were going down.
Okay. All of a sudden, I was mad drunk. Things after this got hazy. A little bit later, I was passed out, but I was conscious enough that I could hear my friends talking. All I remember hearing is one of them saying, he's cold, and hearing them rip the curtains off the window and cover me up with them. I'm like, where are you? What's going on?
What happened?
Sometime during the night, I completely blacked out, and I must have laid there for at least 3 hours. That's when my friends decided to call my brother so he could come pick me up. I just remember my brother walking me down 8 flights of stairs in a pitch black old ass brick building in K-Town and him being super upset at me.
Oh.
All he kept saying was, you dick, I just washed my car. I didn't understand why he was saying that at the time, and I don't remember anything else from that night. The next morning, I woke up with a mean hangover in the backyard of my house with my dogs.
Backyard?
Yeah. He's outside in the
his
backyard.
His brother's like, I'm not bringing you inside.
With his dogs, like, what is going on? I went inside the house, and I asked my wife why I was outside and what happened. She said, you blacked out and shit your pants at the party.
Oh, no.
So when we got home, we had to bathe you. And you got so mad that we used cold water to try to wake you up. You stormed out of the house and said you were sleeping outside with the dogs.
Oh, my God. They did.
That's right.
They just let them.
To this day, every time I smell Captain Morgan's, it reminds me of the day I shit my pants.
Oh, that's so bad.
But he shit so his pants at the party while he was passed out. So that's why his brother was like, you dick. Like, I got to put your poopy pants self into my car. Like, that's probably why they also were like, oh, here's a curtain. We're not giving you good blankets with your poo everywhere.
The whole time.
Hilarious.
The whole time I'm imagining him like just covered in a curtain.
Yeah. He's
in a
curtain.
Oh gosh, that's so embarrassing.
Yeah.
Just a blackout, poop your pants.
And it's like secondhand embarrassing almost because you don't even remember. Like I remember so many times blacking out and having the stories we told to me the next day of what I did and just being like,
yep. Yeah.
Like cringe.
Those flashbacks.
And I'm like, no, that didn't really happen, did it? Like, yeah, no, you really did that.
I said that.
I really did that. I really did that. They're like, yeah. I was like, oh my God.
I know. Oh,
that feeling,
baby.
That cringe.
Oh, never again, Captain Morgan.
Captain Morgan's get you every time.
Captain Morgan made you walk the plank. terrible. That's terrible.
Yeah, it's bad.
Oh my God. Okay.
But so good. We love it.
So good. We love it. Okay. This is from Brad in Connecticut.
Hi, Brad.
Yeah, he wrote in.
Hi, Brad.
And he said, hi, Brad. Is that your Connecticut accent?
I don't know what that was. It just
came
out.
Hello, Brad.
Intrusive thoughts went again. Hi, Brad. Yes.
Intrusive thoughts. Your intrusive thoughts are like, they don't cut you down. They're so awesome. They're just like a, hello, Katie. How are you?
Hi, Brad. So excited.
Okay, Brad. So he wrote, every Halloween, I dress up as a clown and sit in a chair outside my house. It's for spooky times.
That. I hate that so much.
Already.
Brad, I thought you were cool. Okay.
Brad,
now
I'm
you're
no longer
dressing up like a creepy ass clown and sitting on your porch. Terrifying. Yep. Worse. Yep.
He sits close to the door and waits to scare trick or treaters. It's so fun to wait until they get their candy and then just scream boo at them and watch them all run away.
Brad, you're a sociopath.
He's like sitting down with some hot cocoa right now listening to a story. Okay, you just come in hot with like, you're a sociopath.
Brad, you're a sociopath. I'm here to tell you. Get diagnosed.
Katie, you keep going. He's like literally like spit it out. He spit out his hot cocoa. He's like sweating profusely.
It's a nice thing I do for the children. I scare
the
children.
I do it for the community.
They love it.
Okay. So that's what the holiday is there for, right? To spook people while they trick or treat.
Okay, Brad. Okay.
Love this. Like,
maybe not the little chitlins.
You're a psychiatrist across from me. Like, let's unpack that. Okay. So my wife and kid hate that I do this, which makes it extra fun.
They sound normal. They sound about right.
That's your cue, Katie. What do you got for us? 1 year, I stopped doing this forever.
Well.
Because. because a few kids dressed as everyone from The Wizard of Oz came shuffling up to the door. So there was the Tin Man, the Scarecrow, the Lion, and Dorothy. I was impressed at their attention to detail. The Dorothy was eyeing my costume, and I could tell she was skeptical, but I stayed still. I was wearing a clown mask. Cue Katie.
Okay, so he's literally not even interacting with them until they get the candy, and then he tries to scare the shit out of them. Yeah, you're a freak, bro. Yeah.
So he's wearing a clown mask and trying to make myself look like a stuffed person by slumping in the chair.
Oh, I hate it. I hate it so much. I mean, clowns already terrifying, but you're not even just being like, I mean, clowns are supposed to be happy, okay? But
okay.
Like, no, I don't like
it's
any
probably
kind
a
of clown.
Terrifying clown mask, too. You know what it is.
Yeah, he's got the pointed corners.
He's got like, his eye sockets painted black so you can like open them and see like the big white. I mean, I don't know. I'm going with this, but that's what I imagined.
I hate it. And he's looking like slumped over. I hate it so much.
Oh,
I hate
did
it.
I get you?
You get me.
Oh, you always get me. So, whew. Okay. Well, they got their candy and I yelled, can I have some? And before I knew it, the Dorothy just kicked me square in the balls.
Yeah, Dorothy, get it.
That's what I would have done, too.
And all ran off.
That's amazing.
My wife and young kids ran out to help me. I doubled over and lay there until I could get up and hobble back into the house.
That's so funny.
I never sat out there again.
Yeah, you got
Dorothy.
Kicked.
That's so funny. Can
Dorothy
you
did it right. She got you with those ruby red slippers right in the nards.
You are the Wicked Witch of the West.
I love it.
Smashed you with her house.
I love it. Yeah.
Can you believe? Can you imagine just feeling that kind of pain? I mean, I don't even know what it feels like to get kicked in the nuts, obviously, but I mean.
I mean, you've gone through childbirth, so how bad can it really be?
Probably not.
Seriously,
as bad as that.
How bad can it be?
Exactly.
But on top of that, like if he was just going to be a creepy clown, that's cool. Like if you're just going out there and you're interacting with people, like I hate clowns, but like that's cool. I respect that.
Yeah.
But it's that you're like totally like going haunted house style. Yeah. I mean, it is cool. I love Halloween. So
I know. I was going to say,
I'm not
like,
mad
you
at
love
it.
Halloween.
I'm not mad at it, Brad. Like it's honestly cool. But for the little kids, like you are traumatizing.
Sociopath.
You are a sociopath.
You said
like
a
this
sociopath.
Is for adults. This is some adult shit. Like you're trauma. You're giving kids nightmares for years to come.
100%.
They can't even look at clowns in fairs. They're
yep.
like terrified.
Also,
you have done some serious permanent PTSD
maybe.
Damage.
Whoa, Katie has come up against a clown in her day.
Yeah.
Well, work in a corn maze, man. You know what I mean? Get a
yes.
job at a scary, spooky corn maze.
Or a haunted house.
Haunted house, jump out. And you
go
would
be one of the chainsaw clowns at Not Scary Farm. I love
that. Chase after
them.
A hayride with a chainsaw.
Yeah, that's your clown mask.
That's what you
were destined for.
That's, you missed your calling, Brad.
Yeah, instead you got kicked in the nuts.
And now he's never going to be my friend after this. Or tell another story ever again.
Sorry, Brad.
Wait, my question, Katie, is like, you like spooky stuff.
I love all scary stuff. I can take a lot of it.
No, clowns, I wouldn't. Kryptonite, do you think?
No, I don't like clowns. I mean, I think clowns are super creepy for sure.
Like, especially the scary masked ones, right?
Yeah, like when I go, I haven't been in forever, but when I used to go to Not Scary Farm and they have the chainsaw clowns that chase you around, I would always, to make it scarier for myself, I would always pretend. I'd be like, what if a real person snuck in here with a real chainsaw and they meshed in with the fake clowns?
Yeah.
And there's somebody who has a real one and they're really going around murdering people and nobody knows because it's really Halloween.
100%.
So I would always do that for myself to be like, oh my God, let's make it scarier.
That's so scary.
Yeah, it's fun.
That's so scary. I just reminded me really quickly of an embarrassing story I had in a corn maze where I walked up to people. They screamed in my face and ran away. And I was like, there must be someone so scary behind me. I turned around. There's no one behind me. They just got scared of me and they ran away. I don't know why. I was wearing a normal outfit.
You're like, I wasn't even dressed up for Halloween. It was just my face.
We were in that together.
It was my literal face.
It was my face.
That is so funny.
Had to have been rude.
For this last story, I had asked on IG if anyone had tattoo stories, and Sheila delivered.
Yes.
Yeah. Sheila in New Jersey writes, as soon as I turned 18, I decided I was going to get my first tattoo. I knew I wanted a full sleeve on my right arm, so I wanted to start off with a pretty big piece. I chose a large, colorful, and detailed flower to be placed just below my shoulder. My parents were not happy about it, but I saved up my own money, and I was legally an adult, so they couldn't stop me from doing it. My boyfriend at the time was 20 and already had several tattoos, so he prepped me on what to expect. He drove me to my appointment and was prepared to hold my hand and distract me if I needed it. The tattoo artist began and everything was going fine. I didn't think it was too painful at first, but 2 hours in with heavy shading and coloring, I started to feel woozy. The tattoo artist asked if I was okay and if I needed a break, and that's the last thing I remember before waking up to my boyfriend leaning over me and shouting my name.
Oh.
I passed out in the chair, and to make matters worse, I had pissed myself when I passed out.
Oh, no.
Poor sweet baby. Poor sweet 18-year-old baby, her first tattoo.
That's so, I'm sorry.
So, so sad. I was mortified to see my light-colored jeans had an obvious stain, and I wanted to run and hide. The tattoo artist wrapped my arm and said we should stop here for today. I left with the tattoo only about half completed, and I was so freaked out about what happened, I waited 5 years before even attempting another tattoo.
So did she finish it?
I'm happy to report that I didn't pass out again, and now many years later, I have 2 full sleeves.
Oh, great. Okay, so, you know.
But I get that when something traumatizing happens, doing it again is always the hardest, like the next time, to be like, it's not going to happen again. Like, I'm not going to do it again. Like, that would be scary. Like, if you passed out and pissed the first time you got a tattoo, I'd be like, ooh, I don't know, what if it happens again? Like,
I think
scary.
Waking up and having pee in your pants, that's hard. Because, like, take it from someone who's peed my pants 7 million times.
But you're always conscious.
I'm always awake. I already know what's happening.
You know what's going down.
But down your leg. But I do feel that. Like waking up and being like, where am I? What happened? Oh my God. Okay, we're good. Oh, I peed and this cool tattoo artist saw it.
I know.
And my boyfriend.
And they have to like sanitize the chair and clean everything. He's like, okay, we're done. Get out.
like, he's like, let's wrap it up.
That's enough for today.
Literally.
You go take care of whatever is going on here.
Yeah. Wrap it up. I wonder if that's where it came from. That day.
That saying came from that day.
He started something that everyone says.
That's what it was. That's where it started. Well, thank you for sharing that, sweet girl. And I'm glad that you have the 2 full sleeves now. I bet they look amazing.
I bet they look amazing.
Send us photos.
See them. Yeah, please. Emails full of photos.
We want to see it.
Or Insta us. Sometimes people want to tell their own story. So today we have someone who wants to do that. And I am going to call him now.
Yay, I love a caller.
Its name is John.
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, hey, John. How are you? This is Katie and Mary Kay with Beat Red Podcast.
Hi, John.
How's it going, ladies? How's the day going?
It's going great. And we're so excited to hear your story.
We can't wait.
Thanks for sharing it.
Oh, my pleasure. There's nothing I like better on a Saturday afternoon than telling stories about embarrassing public nudity.
Oh,
whoa.
Spoiler alert.
And thank you so much. We'll talk to you later.
Okay. I thought about this story the other day, and it just kind of popped in my head. When I was a kid, like a lot of people in Southern California, I was on swim team. My parents signed me up for it. They thought it was a good thing for me to do in the summer. And, you know, I really liked it a lot. And after I'd done it for a couple of years, I think I was like 10 years old. You know, it was like all ages swim team. So it was like ages 5 through 18.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like 10 or 11. You know, it's that weird age when you start to realize like, oh, like other people's bodies are like way more developed than mine.
Aww.
Sorry, John.
My son's 10. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah. Don't put him on swim team.
So you start to realize things and you're like, oh man, like that guy who's like 16 has like an enormous dick.
Okay.
Right?
Okay,
like,
okay. Whoa. All right.
Like, and I'm like 10 and I'm like, I'm starting to feel a little self-conscious about like what my body looks like. And,
aww,
you know, it's co-ed swim team. So I was like, all right, like it's a swim meet. There's like a bunch of people around and I'm not really comfortable with like this super tight speedo. So like, well, I'll go a size up, you know, and like, then maybe I won't feel like everything is hanging out there in the open. So I feel a little bit better about that. And, you know, I wait around and then finally comes my turn for a race and get up on the starting blocks and, you know, have the normal jitters that you have when you're about to start a race. And then the starter pistol goes off and beeps and I jump in and I'm swimming for my life. And I realize about, it's like half a length of the pool. And I was like, I'm not wearing a bathing suit anymore.
Oh my God.
Whoa.
So
what happened?
I stop in the middle of the race and I'm like bobbing on the surface. I'm like, oh, where's my swimsuit? Like I can't find
your
my swimsuit.
Little butt is like,
and I'm like looking around everywhere. My coaches are like, what are you doing? You gotta swim. And I was like, I don't think I can swim because when I get to the end of the pool, I'm gonna have to like get out.
Oh my God.
I'm like, get out. And like the one thing I was so self-conscious about was how my body
looked. No, you can't get out without your bathing suit.
Well, here's the problem. You know, I couldn't find it. Like, to this very day, I don't know where that bathing suit
went. Wait, it never, like, resurfaced? Was this an Olympic-sized swimming pool?
It never resurfaced. Somebody must have, like, taken it. It was an Olympic-sized swimming pool. Maybe it got caught in the drain. Maybe somebody thought it was really funny. So,
oh my God,
you know,
stop it.
I swallow
my
pride.
Wait, so were there a bunch of other people in the pool with you at the same time?
Yeah, but they were like, by the time I started to swim again and like get to the other end of the pool and end the race, they were like well done with the race. I was the only person in the pool.
So you think someone could, so you just stayed in the middle while other people continued to swim?
Well, I thought like I need to like go back for my swimsuit and I should like go and, you know, see if I can find it. But it was also the middle of the race. I was like, should I finish the race? And
Oh my God.
I ended up just finishing the race.
That's traumatizing.
Waiting at the end. Traumatizing. No swimsuit arrived. You know, my parents were kind enough to like come to the edge of the pool with a towel, but like I just got out of the water.
They saw something. They saw something. There's no way they did
it. Your
something.
Penis.
I mean,
oh, no.
Saw your butt and penis.
Oh no.
Well, yeah. The amazing view of my butt as I like climbed out of the water and like bent over the side of the pool to pull myself out.
That sucks so bad. I feel so bad for you. That is traumatizing.
Dying.
Oh yeah.
That's so funny.
Wait, but who took your bathing suit?
Yeah, who took your bathing suit?
Because you said
it's
in the
a
middle.
Mystery to this day. That's
yeah,
it's
you're like
a mystery to this day.
Yeah, somebody like jumped in behind you and like snagged it and ran away with it. So mean.
Well, it fell off as soon as I dove in the water, right? Like it
so it
shot
couldn't have
off
gone
like
far. It had to be somewhere
no,
in the
must
pool.
Have just been floating there.
No, like, someone had to take it.
I just love that you dove in and you were swimming for your life, and then your little butt was like out for everyone to see.
You're like, oh, this 100%. Is why speedos are tight. This is why they wear them tight.
Yeah, so they don't come flying off in the middle of races. Oh, like I said, you know.
So cute.
Did you quit swim team?
Did you quit?
No. I continued on.
That's impressive.
Yep. Story of courage here.
Yeah.
Bravery.
I showed my face at practice the next Monday. And
did they call you any names after that?
No, they didn't call me like Dick Boy or whatever. Or,
that would be so intense.
Well, boys are rough, you know?
Yeah,
boys
they are really are. That is traumatizing.
That's traumatizing.
And it's such a good story. Thank you so
Thank
much
you
for sharing
so
it.
Thank you so much for sharing it.
Yeah, I don't know
My
what I would have
pleasure.
Done. Yeah, I guess you would have just had to like swim to the edge and hang out and just be like, what do I do? This is horrible. Because either way, like when you go to get out, there's no way to not show something.
You know what's
there's
funny
no
though? Even more embarrassing is that the people on the either side of you, as they're swimming through their lives, lives and like looking over their shoulder to take a breath, they're going to see your butt and your penis because they have their goggles on. Thank you so much for telling that story. That was so great. Thanks so much for the call-in. We love call-ins.
Yes, we do. If you want to share your story this way, we love it.
Oh, my pleasure. I'd love to. Anytime you guys want.
Okay, yay, awesome.
We'll have you back for sure.
Definitely.
Thanks, right, John.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, ladies. Love the podcast. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Thanks for being a fan. Bye.
Yay.
Yay.
That's our show. We hope you loved it. If you did, please tell a friend, rate, review, and subscribe. That helps us move up the charts. And if you have a story that made you turn beet red, please email us at beetredpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you want to buy us a cup of coffee, go to our Patreon page. It is linked in the show notes.
If you can't beat them,
join them.
See you next week.